on the line right now with the Solicitor General and Justice Minister for the province of Alberta, Mr. Casey Maddu. And Minister, as always, great to check in with you. How are things going?
I am doing well. Okay, always a pleasure to join you and your audience.
Yeah, no, we're definitely happy to hear from you whenever we have the opportunity. And we know last week we heard you announce, along with the Premier, the challenge of Bill C-69, another federal law. And for those who don't understand what that is, it's commonly referred to out here as the No More Pipelines Bill. Once again, and I think I understand, Minister, that when I was talking to Minister Schweitzer, your predecessor, about this, when certain things were going on, and does this fall under a section of the Constitution, I think Section 92 or 92A, you may know that better than I do, in which...
Section 92.1A.
Yes, that I believe provinces have jurisdiction when it comes to natural resources. Are you using a similar argument that you're going to use in this case that you're using with the carbon tax?
Well, absolutely, you know, Kenny. It is important that we protect the hard-fought protection, jurisdiction for our natural resources, you know. Ken, if you recall, that was the basis upon which Alberta, through our then Premier, consented to the 1982 Constitution. He insisted and fought hard to ensure that the Constitution provides the clear jurisdiction with respect to our natural resources to the provinces. And so that, in a nutshell, is one of the key pillars of the argument that our lawyers will be making the Court of Appeal.
Okay. And also, I guess in saying that, though, Minister, we know that, remember last year, thanks, COVID did obviously slow it down, but I, from what we're understanding and from what you're hearing, are you expecting within the next 4 to 6 weeks an announcement, or at least it is not an announcement, but a decision from the Supreme Court of Canada on the carbon tax?
Yeah, so that you're absolutely correct. So we are expecting that decision any moment from now. I think we are now in March. It's around this particular time that we would expect that the court, the highest court, will deliver its judgment. So any moment from now, the Supreme Court could come down with a judgment.
Okay, wow, that's very interesting, and I'm sure we're definitely going to hear from you as soon as that happens. So thanks for that update. Also, Minister, we know that the government released its financial blueprint for the next fiscal year. In terms of justice, we talk about modernization of Alberta's justice system. What does that mean to you, and what are some of the exciting things from the budget that you're excited about as Minister?
You know, Kenny, great question. I think that there are people of this province would know that we have preserved the budget allocations for our law enforcement. In fact, we have made significant increases in a few areas. There has been zero cut to the law enforcement budget in this budget that was tabled by the Minister of Finance and President of the Treasury Board. We know, Kenny, that this pandemic has taught us that there are more efficient ways through which we could deliver services. We are taking advantage of the innovation in technology and innovations in justice system delivery to make sure that we are delivering services that are more efficient and better serve the people of our province.
Okay, yeah, and I think you had mentioned that a lot of things, like, for example, being able to attend preliminary hearings, for example, via electronic methods or something like that. So now, obviously, learning these things from the pandemic, is that one of the things where the government sits back and looks and says, you know what a time saver that is? Post-pandemic, we should continue that.
No, absolutely. Why should someone travel an hour or two to attend a hearing when they could sit in the comfort of their home or their offices to attend that particular hearing when we do have the infrastructure for that? And so, and we have made changes to our laws to accommodate all kinds of electronic hearings brought upon us by the COVID. All that we have done is to make some of those pandemic legislation permanent, because we heard from the judiciary that they would, and the legal profession, that they in fact would want to keep it permanent. A second example, you know, Kenny, yep, is that you used to be able to go to the lawyer's office to be able to notarize all kinds of conveyance and documents.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now we heard from the Law Society and from the legal profession again that some of those provisions that requires a lawyer and their client to be able to meet virtually to sign those documents should be made permanent. And so those are some of the efficient systems that we are putting in place that is going to end up saving us some costs. And all of those costs have been factored into the budget that was tabled by the Minister of Finance on February 25th.
Okay, so I guess when your critic on the other side of the floor says that, he said in a tweet that the government's cutting $65 million from the Justice Department, but really what it sounds like here is more of a modernization of things. So I guess the big question is that obviously the NDP says here the UCP is cutting $65 million from the Justice Department. Is there really any major cuts going on? Clear the air for us on this.
Absolutely. You know, Kenya, I think folks need to understand that the NDP will say whatever they want, they like to say, just for the sake of it. And this is folks that run our government to the ground. They don't understand what it means to run an efficient government. And serious-minded Albertans understands that is a very shallow argument to make against this budget. The truth is I have worked so hard to preserve the budget for the Justice Department because I believe the importance of keeping Albertans safe, of making sure that our justice system functions efficiently. Law and order is something that's important to me. Our justice system is critical to the good order and governance of any society. So we have worked so hard to preserve the budget for the Justice Department, but I think it's also commonsensical that if we have made progress with respect to the use of technology, why should we ignore the savings that come from those hard work? Why should we just, milk taxpayers for the sake of milking taxpayers? Or why should we, embark on big government, obviously something that the NDP don't have a problem with? So we have made savings because we have implemented efficient means of delivering those kinds of services as a consequence of innovations with respect to electronic attendance of all kinds of issues within the justice system.
Okay, great. Well, glad to know that that's clear and no real cuts happening. And in terms of efficiencies, yeah, if you do have the opportunities, there's no harm in certainly continuing that. And this is somebody who had posed a question to our local MLA up here, one of them being Dan Williams, and that is, Minister, so I guess I'll throw this one to you. What are the benefits, Wendy was wondering, what are the benefits of provincial police force versus the RCMP?
Kenny, obviously we have not made a decision with respect to provincial police service. We have embarked on a study because the Fair Deal panel, one of the outcomes was for us to pursue a provincial police service. But we concluded that this is one area that needs a detailed study before we can make a determination one way or another. At the end of the day, the benefit comes down to community policing. I want to make sure that you don't just have to live in Edmonton or Calgary or in Lethbridge, Medicine Hat and Red Deer or Camp Rose to have the benefits of full and complete protection from our law enforcement. Every single Albertan, regardless of where you live in this province, needs to have the benefit of the same level of services. We pay the same amount of taxes. The government works for all of us. It doesn't matter where you live. So my goal is to make sure that if we decided to go with a provincial police service, that the people who live in our rural community are going to have the same level of service as the people that live in Edmonton. Why should someone that lives in Peace Country, for example, have to wait for an hour before a police, a 911 call is answered? Why should someone that lives in the deepest part of our northern province wait for an hour, 2-3 hours before a 911 call is answered? when in Edmonton and Calgary, let's be the medicine hats, or you are minutes away from those phone calls. So, and I do not want, Kenny, let me be clear.
Of course.
Whilst I want to listen to every single Albertan to express their views on this, this is not an issue that the folks who have the benefit of the municipal police service at their beck and call to determine the outcome of this particular process. It's easy for you to live in Edmonton where you have the Edmonton Police Service at your beck and call to tell someone who lives in the deepest part of our rural community why a provincial police service is a bad idea. Right. So while I will listen to every single view out there, at the end of the day, I'm not going to allow people with the benefit of municipal police service, to determine the outcome of this particular study.
Okay, well, very interesting on that, and good to know. Yeah, definitely, I could tell you right here, the town of Peace River does not have its own municipal police force. I could tell you that our town of around 6,000 to 7,000 people does not have a municipal police force. But I guess I always do it, and, Casey, if I have you on here, I can't not ask you about sports or something like that, because I will say this. I've had your minister or your predecessor on, Minister Schweitzer, quite a few times, and he's spent time in college as a baseball player but doesn't really talk about much about it and doesn't say he was very good. But then when I tell him sometimes, I'm like, Minister Madhu's very, very good at his sports. That's one thing I say is that I could tell that when you tell me, you're like, I was good and I was very good. And I love hearing that. So I gotta ask this too. If you... back in the day, let's just say you were to play a little bit of basketball with Hakeem the Dream Olajuwon. Do you think like one-on-one back in the day, you would have been able to do well against him in the basketball court, or you think that would have been a challenge?
It would have been a challenge. There's no question about that, Kenny. I mean, Hakeem is arguably one of the best in the game. And for me, with my own skills with soccer, it will be a huge challenge to go after one of the greatest basketball players of all times. There's no question about that. It will be a huge challenge for sure.
I think he may have a foot on you, too, in terms of height.
Exactly.
Which means that he probably has 2 feet on me, so that's fair enough. Minister, we always appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kenny. Take care, my friend.
This is Casey Madhu. He is the Justice Minister and Solicitor General for the Province of Alberta, and this is another edition of The Hot Seat.